Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. When Antoinette found out she was pregnant, she was in a bad place. She didn't know how she could raise her child on her own. She searched for an abortion clinic, and God led her to a Preborn clinic where she met her baby on ultrasound. When she saw her baby and heard the heartbeat, she broke down crying, and the nurse reminded her that babies are blessings from God. She chose life. Her daughter's name is Treasure because she is a gift from God. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Sometimes the question comes to me, and it may come to you as well. Does anyone give thanks to God for you? Let me restate that. Does anyone give thanks to God for you? Well, listen, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, listen to what Paul said about the followers of Christ in Thessalonica. He said, "We are bound to give thanks to God always for you." These were believers who, yes, they had their questions, and they had a few on the outside that should have been doing a little bit better. But Paul says, "I always thank God for you." And we, Alex and myself, we thank God for you listening today and to Exploring the Word. And we want to take you through the book of 2 Thessalonians. We'll start in chapter 2, verse 13. But Alex, again, small book, but big on teaching and doctrine, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And Bert, it's great to be with you on this edition of Exploring the Word, and good to be in 2 Thessalonians. You know, I love verse 13 and following. And maybe you'll recall that song, Thank You, that's about those that have touched our lives. And, you know, when it says we're bound to give thanks always to God for you. Hey, Bert, in you becoming a believer and you being shown the ways of God and discipled, looking back, I bet you can think of many, many names of the beloved of the Lord that you're thankful for, aren't you?
You are exactly right. And some of them are my friends even to today. But I had a Sunday school teacher. Her name was Catherine Ritchie. And she was a late single lady. Her husband had died. But she would teach us juniors. She would teach us the Word of God. And I just thought of her, you know. She was there teaching, and she demonstrated, you know, not only what she taught, but she demonstrated what she taught. And Amen. Looking back, Alex, and I'll ask you, some of those people, especially in my early years of needing to know Christ, and then as a young believer in Christ, watching people and observing them really gave more to my Christian walk than just what I heard. I don't know if you were that way or not, but that was true with me.
Well, amen. Oh, my goodness. I have been blessed to know so many people that they told me scriptural truth. They told me about the Lord, but they role modeled it. And Bert, here's a show. Let's do this one day. And listeners, you be thinking about this. One day, let's have a show where all we do is people call in, and let's give acknowledgement and give glory for those people that touched our life and pointed us toward Jesus.
Alex, way to go, man. I'm writing that down, so I won't forget it. Every once in a while, we'll say, that would be a good show, and we forget it. But this is awesome, just a thank you show. And for those that have demonstrated Christ in our lives, what a program that would be.
Well, and you know, when I read this, Paul says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." I mean, there's a lot in this verse. "Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Now, here's how you come to salvation. Sanctification means to set apart. See, when you become aware of your need for Jesus and you begin to think, you know, I really need to give my life to Christ, that's the Spirit of the Lord drawing you. Now, God draws you, but you also have to believe. That last clause, belief of the truth. Bert, there might even be somebody listening right now. And listen, you know about God, but have you believed? Have you personally entered that relationship with Jesus? And if you haven't, then by all means do that today. But verse 14 says, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Isn't it something, Bert, when you are, the Bible uses a lot of words, saved, born again, redeemed. But what you've got when you've got that, you have obtained into the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, Alex. And the glory, let me just share, we're to bring him glory, and his glory is to be demonstrated in our lives. When you read the scripture, they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. That is the glory of Christ being demonstrated. Remember the ministry of Jesus. Look what all he did, who he helped, who he blessed. And many times it was those people that were way away from, think of Matthew, a tax collector, very, you know, frowned upon by the community, but Jesus would call him out to be one of the apostles. Alex, when I read through the Bible, I'm blessed so many ways, but one of the most amazing things as I read all the way from Genesis to Revelation is the people God used. Think about Moses. He was probably had a stuttering problem. You know, he said, you know, I'm slow of speech. I need somebody to help me. And God says, I'm not going to use that as an excuse. I'm going to give you Aaron. And they went before Pharaoh, and most of us know the rest of the story. But God says he's chosen the foolish things and the weak things of the world to confound the wise and the strong. I'm just amazed at who God calls and who God uses. And that I'm saying that because I believe there's some people who are listening today, like we had yesterday, Matthew listening, and they tried this and that and the other, but they finally put their faith in Christ. I believe there's some believers out there that they know they trusted Christ, but they feel like, well, there's nothing I can do. Listen, it's not just teaching. It's not just singing. Listen, there's some important work to be done. We call it working in the nursery. We're talking about parking lot duty. We're talking about baking a cake and taking it to a neighbor. We're talking about going to a hospital and visiting someone and carrying someone to the doctor. Alex, there's a lot of good work to be done out there by people, isn't there?
Well, there is a lot of good work. And let me tell you, there's an old Doc Watson song. And some of you, see, I'm from North Carolina, and I like bluegrass and all that. But Doc Watson would sing, "We'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work till Jesus come." And it says, there's work on earth for us to do till we are gathered home, you know. Now, I've got to say this, and a guy that's deeply shaped my life is a friend of mine, Pastor Mark Cowart, at Church for All Nations, and he said this, and it really stuck with me. He said, "Somewhere, somebody is waiting on the other side of our obedience."
Wow. Yep.
Now, think about that, folks. Now, here's the thing, that God equips and God calls us to things. There may be somebody like Moses, his excuse was a speech impediment. But look, folks, you could teach a Sunday school class. You could help lead a committee. You could help serve in some way. You could invite people to church. Don't let your excuse be a term that really means disobedience, because there is somebody out there that God will work through you to impact. And like Mark Cowart says, somebody is waiting on the other side of our obedience. Now, verse 15 of 2 Thessalonians 2, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast." Now, that speaks of consistency. Hold fast the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And we've talked about this many times. The word for that, it doesn't mean like tradition, like, you know, Christmas traditions, just some habit that we have. No, it's really our teachings and the doctrines. Now, what are the paradosis, the traditions, the doctrines of Christianity? Well, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Bible is God's word, Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, Bert, there are a lot of the building blocks of a biblical worldview that we must pass on in every generation, aren't there?
There really is. And again, we talked about it in the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Exodus, how they need to be told again and again. So it is passed on. God does not have grandchildren. So we have to pass it on to each generation. And that generation then must do what we were talking about other in verse 13, believe in the truth. That word believe is more than consent. It's more than knowledge. It is a trusting belief, trusting in him, knowing him. And so, and notice this last phrase in verse 15, whether by word or our epistle, what I've taught you and what I had previously written to you. Now, again, I'm reminding everyone that he wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians, but according to what we find out in chapter 2, verse 2, there was someone that was trying to get them off track, and they wrote a false letter using Paul as the author, and they figured out that's not the Apostle Paul. So Paul wrote this letter to correct that as well. So he says, here's what you do. Those things that I taught you and those things that I wrote to you. Here it is, the Word of God. That's what we go by today, the Word of God. We have a sure word. Now, Alex, again, there's the traditions that you referred to here in verse 15. Those things teach. These are the non-negotiables, the Trinity, that salvation by grace through faith. God, the Creator, the Redeemer. Those are the traditions, and we must stand on them. And when the church fails to stand on them, guess what? The church will fail, won't it?
Well, yes. And, you know, there's a phrase, you know, the irreducible minimum below which we dare not go. There's a lot of things in church that are, you know, preferential. Is it contemporary or is it traditional worship or is it, you know, kind of high church and suit and tie, or is it more casual? But there are the things that are not matters of preference. They are conviction. And, you know, you've got to tell people about Jesus, the Son of God. Let's make sure that when people believe in Jesus, the Jesus they believe in is, in fact, the real New Testament Jesus, you know?
Amen.
Verse 16, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. This is just beautiful, the concluding verses of 2 Thessalonians 2. Jesus sent from the Father who loved us. The word everlasting consolation, I think that's the peace and rest that we have in having been born again. And good hope, not false hope, true hope, solid hope in Jesus through his grace. And you know, grace is unmerited favor. Every last one of us, if I could make this word apply, we are gracelings. We've been given a favor. Amen. And a mercy we didn't deserve. Verse 17, it does comfort our hearts. It does establish us in life. The Christian life is a stable life. Bert, isn't it good not only to be theologically on solid ground, but just in life?
Amen.
You know, the Christian life is a secure, stable life. And I think that's something that many people in the world are seeking after, and we can help them find it.
Amen, Alex. And again, the only way this comfort comes is through that grace, that consolation of knowing him. And notice how it affects us, word and work, our walk and our talk. You got it? You know, yeah. Our walk and our talk need to be in agreement.
Just like learning to walk, that little child has to learn to put one foot in and then the other foot and walk. In the Christian walk with the Lord, we do that by faith. Hey, we're going to be back, and we're going to start in chapter 3, so don't go away. You're listening to Exploring the Word.
We want to welcome a new sponsor to American Family Radio, and I hope you give them your full support. That's Christian Healthcare Ministries, chministries.org. If you're like most of us, you're feeling the strain of rising healthcare costs. Well, good news. Christian Healthcare Ministries may be the answer you're looking for. CHM is an affordable, faith-based option to traditional healthcare that provides members the freedom to choose doctors without worrying about networks or waiting periods, since they're not insurance. Can you say freedom? CHM is the longest-serving health cost-sharing ministry and has been around for over 40 years, helping Christians pay for and pray for one another's medical bills. They're tried and true and have members in all 50 states and around the world and have covered billions in medical bills. Members not only get advantages from the affordability, flexibility, and reliability of CHM, but they also receive access to 24/7 telehealth services at no additional cost. It's no surprise that doctors across the country appreciate working with CHM, and so will you. Make the switch today by visiting chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. American Family Radio. American Family Radio.
Let the power of your words dwell here richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with otherly wisdom. Plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert Harper and I are going to continue in 2 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians 3. But hey, let me ask you a question. Do you like it when souls are saved? Do you like it when people hear the gospel? Of course, we all do. Hey, do you like it when babies are saved? Well, when abortion is stopped and expectant mothers keep their child, of course, that rejoices all of our hearts. Well, Preborn, I want to tell you just momentarily about Mission Preborn 2024. For many years, we've collaborated with Preborn. Now, Preborn is a great ministry that all over America, they provide ultrasounds, and they show an expectant mother an ultrasound of their child. And very, very, very often, the mother, and if the father is part of it too, they will keep the baby, but they share the gospel. They also provide ultrasound machines. And what we do, we partner, and think about it, folks, $28 will underwrite an ultrasound, and an expectant mother that might have been considering abortion, and very often they were, they see this ultrasound and they give that baby life. So $28, that's less than a tank of gas, perhaps, $56, two ultrasounds, and so forth. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Go to afr.net/preborn, spelled just like it sounds, afr.net/preborn. You can give securely online if you would please generously support life, and you'll be spreading the gospel. Now, you can give securely online, or you can call by telephone, and you can donate 877-616-2396. And thousands of babies have been saved. They're calling our nation back to a culture of life. I mean, Bert, think about this. To spend $28 and know that I saved a human life, yeah, count me in.
Amen. I agree, Alex. And again, yes, we want to pray. We want to ask, and others, if you come across somebody and they're considering taking the life of that child, we need to stand strong in love and plead the case for that child. We need to vote for pro-life candidates. But also here we have the ability to do two things. Show our pre-life support for the preborn, really support it, in financial ways. And while you're doing that, you're sharing, going to be able to share the gospel with someone about Jesus Christ. Again, last year, 9,200 women came to know Jesus Christ as Savior through Preborn. Now, I just want to tell you, that's effective use of God's finances that He's given people to share through AFR to Preborn. So these are our partners. They're mission partners. People say, well, AFR doesn't do a lot of mission work. Yes, we partner with a lot of people that do that mission work. We try to do it ourselves, Alex, you and I, and others that are part of AFR staff. And so we are involved in that. We are in the Great Commission. And supporting Preborn is part of the Great Commission, Alex, because these are sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And so make that call again. Let me give that number, and then we'll get on to chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, the number that you want to write down and give $28 or more, whatever God lays on your heart, 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396, or donate online at AFR.net. Follow that link, and you can make that gift today. So, Alex, exciting part of the year for AFR is the week that we're part of Preborn Ministry. So we praise God for it, don't we?
Well, we really do, and we're praying for several thousand ultrasounds. So if you would participate, $280 will underwrite 10 ultrasounds. And again, you can go to afr.net/preborn, give securely online, or you can call 877-616-2396. Well, 2 Thessalonians 3 begins in this way. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Boy, that's the understatement of the year, isn't it?
It is.
Not everybody is a believer. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You know where he begins? He says, finally, brethren, pray for us. I guess as a minister, hasn't that been probably the most often requested thing that we've ever said? Please keep us in your prayers.
I agree with you, Alex. And I can't help but remember this. One of our past presidents, George W. Bush, and of all the things that I got to meet him, and it was this. And it was because of 9/11, him being a president, and our nation really started praying more than it has in my long lifetime. I'll just tell you, seemed like more prayers. The church was full that next Sunday. And what President Bush said, and it really impressed me, he said, what I hear more than anything else when I'm out among the people, we're praying for you. Now, he said, I hope it wasn't just political talk. I hope he really meant it. But, Alex, I think you and I can say it now, not that we're president or we're in that position, but when people say, I pray for you, man, I'm telling you what, that is an awesome, awesome blessing to us. And here, Paul requested, pray for us. What? That the word of the Lord may have free course.
What, I like that.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Yeah, we want the word of God to freely go out. And where is the seed going to land? Just like if you're growing a garden, you want to put the seed in the row, and it can grow and germinate. Well, we want the seed of the gospel to solidly land in hearts and bear the fruit of salvation. And so we pray that the word of the Lord has free course. And he goes on and he says, the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and keep you from evil. Verse 4, and we have confidence in the Lord regarding you, that you both do and will the things which we command you. Now, this is assuming the best. It's the presumptive in persuading somebody. It's called the presumptive close. In other words, here's what I'm saying you ought to do, and I know you will do it. You know?
Yeah.
As a Christian, I want my listeners to do what God's Word says, and I'm praying that under the Holy Spirit, I myself will do what the Word of God says, you know?
It's exact. Alex, I want to combine verse 3 with verse 5 and see if you see this. Verse 5, I know you're reading from the King James. It says, keep you. Verse 3, the word keep has the idea of guard, you know? Guard you from the evil one. And then notice what it says here as it says, direct your hearts. Those two things, you got to guard your heart and your heart's got to be directed. Those two elements in your life will help you live the Christian life. It says walk in the Spirit. Guarding your heart from the evil one, from the evil thoughts, you got to keep your heart. You got to guard it. And then you need the direction. You don't need to meander through life. You need to be directional in life, going in God's ways toward God's commands. I'm going to just say, that'll preach, brother.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? We need our hearts directed. That's why it's so important to be in church. Folks, much of the Christian life, I'll grant you, is, you know, we're living our life unsupervised. And, you know, it's you on your own, and you've got to choose that you're going to hear the Holy Spirit and follow God. But when you're in church, or maybe you're in a small group, or you know, are part of a Sunday school or whatever, that will help. It'll help you keep on keeping on toward Jesus, but it'll identify your blind spots. Bert, I was at a lunch yesterday with a very successful businessman, and he was talking about how the Lord helped him grow a business. But they brought in some consultants, and these were experts in efficiency. And he said, we were doing a few things wrong, and they helped us be more efficient, save more money. The company became more profitable, and we could give more to missions. Well, look, none of us always knows the right thing to do just unilaterally. We need the Word of God to direct us. We need to be under good teaching. We need the accountability and encouragement of those around us. That's why if you're a born-again believer, you're not a free agent. You're not a lone ranger. You're part of the body of Christ. And so for the direction of your heart and life, verse 5 says, into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walks disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Now verse 6 ties to verse 15 of chapter 2. Now, disorderly, Bert, people can be, the old saying, you know, go rogue doctrinally or, you know, in practice. Let me say this. If somebody is teaching that which is false or doing that which is wrong, you don't want to be a part of that.
And what you believe affects what you do. And here they're walking disorderly, not according to tradition. In other words, what you've been taught in Christ, where you should go, how you should live, there's inconsistency there. And the idea is withdraw. Don't you go along. Don't support them. Don't be a part of that life because they'll drag you into it. And so, Paul, this is a command, but it, as usual, it's a command for our benefit, Alex. Yeah. But it's also beneficial to if he's a brother in Christ, and it says every brother to withdraw, to get their attention, to say, listen, you're going in the wrong direction. You're not only helping yourself because you're not being drawn into it, but you're also helping that brother or sister to let them know, hey, you need to examine yourself to see what God's doing and needs to do in your life. So it's verse 6 is not negative in some ways. It's beneficial and positive. You're helping yourself in your direction, and you're also trying to help someone that's been misdirected to get back on track.
Well, let me say this. Let's camp out here a minute, folks. I was on a radio show just 2-3 hours ago, and I said, look, if you find yourself in a woke church, you need to get out and take your money with you. And there are pastors and churches that they're not really preaching the gospel these days. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians 15:33 and 34. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character. Isn't that something? And then it goes on, it says in verse 34, listen to the King James of 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. But what it says really in the original language, come back to your senses as you ought to do and stop sinning.
Amen.
Now back to 2 Thessalonians 3, you know, withdraw from the disorderly brother. Folks, I'm going to tell you, look, we love everybody. We'll do anything we can to call people to Christ. But if somebody is denying the Word of God, if somebody is advocating things that are contrary to the Word of God, we don't want to be a part of that. Because like Paul said, you know, bad company corrupts good character. Turn back. And so I think we have to be very careful, you know, where we go to church, the teaching that we sit under, the persons with whom we associate, because we're not our own. We're here, everything post-salvation, we're on mission for God.
Notice what he does in verse 7. He says, I'm telling you what not, don't be doing that. But he says, I want you to know we've demonstrated what it should be in verse 7. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. We lived our lives. And matter of fact, he said, we did, and we're going to get to this verse 8. He said, we denied some of the things we could have asked of you so we could demonstrate to you how to live. Verse 8, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day that we may not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. Now, I want to share with you, Paul, more than anything else, he wanted to be clear on the gospel of Jesus Christ. He also wanted to be clear on the purpose that was to glorify the Lord Jesus, and he is also wanting to be clear in the walk we should have in Christ. That is a consistent theme of Paul's writings all through, from Romans all the way through all of the letters he wrote, that there's a consistency. He said, now we could have said, hey, we need to take up this money and we need to have this money so we'll have food, we'll have a place to eat, and that's good. But he said, because you were so young, because things the way they were, we demonstrated to you how you don't need to be a burden to anyone. Alex, Paul went beyond what was required, quote, and did that which would be helpful to them as an example. We need to be that kind of example in our lives of letting people see Christ in us, the hope of glory.
We really do. We really do. And he said he didn't want to be a burden to anybody. And verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians 3, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you. Now, here's a verse that if
watch out ever, now, Alex. You're going to start meddling here. Go ahead.
You know, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. That's what God says. You ought to work.
Yep.
There's no free lunch. It's good for us to work for what we need.
You're listening to Exploring the Word. That phone number is 888-589-8840. We would love to hear your call today.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father.
Yeah, I had to wait till I heard those words. You're a good, good father. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're missing out on the greatest relationship in all the world. He is our Savior. And the Heavenly Father is a good, good Father. He really is. We pray you know Him. Well, listen, we're promoting Preborn. We're asking you to be a partner with us. And I want to just share with you, on our Facebook, Brent has put a link. If you go to our Facebook page, you can follow it, and you can make your contribution today. And that is able to do $28. We'll give an ultrasound, and 80% of the time, that mother that has come in to get an ultrasound, after she hears the baby's heartbeat, sees the ultrasounds, she chooses to keep that baby. And many, many times, 9,200 times last year, 9,200 women gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what an opportunity it is. So make that contribution now. And the phone number that you can call for that is 877-616-2396, or you can go online at AFR.net. Alex is going to try to get to as many calls as we can, so we're going to give precise answers. But we left Amy off yesterday. She got on, and her question was the use of anointing oil in a proper way. Can you answer that? Do you have an answer? Anointing oil. The Bible talks about it quite a bit, anointing oil. Now, I just want to share with you, when you go to Psalm 23, and I read that this morning. I'm reading through Psalms, I'm already in the book of Exodus now, but reading through that as I read through this year, He anoints my head with oil. That was for medical reasons for the sheep, and it was also a practice in the New Testament times. Oil was a medicinal purpose, but I think sometimes it also has a spiritual connotation as well. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, in Exodus 30, there's essentially almost a recipe for it, you know. But of course, in James 5:14, there's a very famous scripture about if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders to pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Bert, like you say, there it might have been speaking of applying appropriate medicine plus prayer. Or it might be the symbolism of the Holy Spirit. But I don't think there's anything wrong with it. In fact, I think it is efficacious. And I've been in plenty of prayer services where, we've anointed people with oil. We've, made the cross on their forehead with oil and prayed for them. Because, Matthew 25, oil in the lamp is pictorial of the Holy Spirit. Remember the parable of the virgins, and some were wise and put oil in their lamp. So I think it's good, but let me just say this. Remember, healing is from God. We don't want the oil itself to be viewed as some, talisman or idol or something. It represents the Holy Spirit, and I think it's appropriate to use and pray, but remember, our trust is in God and God alone.
Amy from Oklahoma, I know she called in, and we answered your question, and we appreciate it. Hope you're listening, Amy. Richard might get on the line with you and let you know that, but we appreciate that so much. That's the first time we've had that question. After 12 years of questions, every once in a while we'll come across a new one, and that one was new for us, so thank you so much. Yes. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Ann. Ann, thank you for calling.
Hey there, how are you guys doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Good, thank you. I so appreciate the guidance that you guys give. And so quickly, I'll be brief. I am part of a Baptist church, and I need to ask you about women in ministry. And I think the Bible says women are not meant to be pastors to lead churches. But does that also apply to a children's pastor, a youth pastor, if one of those is female and the senior pastor is out of town and they may provide the sermon for that week when he's out of town? Is it referencing all pastoral positions or just senior pastor positions from a biblical standpoint?
Thank you, Ann. Thank you for calling. Alex, you and I, we've talked about this quite a bit. And look at Timothy, look at Titus, and you see those things. But it seems, and I believe it is biblical, that the senior pastor is to be male. He's to be male. It's that male leadership, and it's all through. It's not putting women down in any way. It has the idea of position. There is equal quality, but those positions under them can be filled. And if a woman has teaching ability, I look at it biblically and I see examples of it. If the pastor of the church asks them to come and speak, that woman is still under the authority of the senior pastor, aren't they?
Exactly. Let me quote somebody, Norm Geisler. He's in heaven right now. And folks, I don't know if you know that name, but he was a great theologian, apologist. And Bert, let's just say Dr. Geisler was real conservative, wasn't he?
He was, yes. Great.
And yet, nevertheless, when I was in graduate school, we came to 1 Timothy 2:11-12, and it said that a woman should not teach or usurp authority over a man. And yet, arch-conservative Norm Geisler, he said that, look, if you invite a woman to give the message on a Sunday morning, that's okay. Because if she has teaching gifts, he said, she is there under the pastor's authority by his invitation, and she hasn't usurped authority. So, you know, and I'm only speaking for me, and I realize different churches work this out for themselves. Unequivocally, the senior pastor is to be male. But other staff, and yes, even giving the message in the pulpit on a Sunday morning, I wouldn't have any problem with that. Neither did Dr. Geisler. Bert, do you recall about 20 years ago, the Southern Baptist Convention was in St. Louis. I was there to speak in a workshop, but the message at the pastor's conference to hundreds and hundreds of male pastors was by Ann Graham Lotz.
Yeah, that's right.
And they were amening her. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, it's great. She was gifted and she brought a great message. So, you know, I don't think we should suppress women who are gifted and anointed, but that pastoral role and really the elders and leaders and the senior leadership is male, but that doesn't preclude women from using their gifts and serving in other ways too.
And we hope that helps. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Mike in, is it West Virginia or Wyoming? Mike?
Wyoming.
Okay, I couldn't see on my screen if it was WV or WY. Let me give you this, Mike. Far as I know, we need to have a celebration here. This is the first caller we've had from Wyoming that I can remember. Alex, you've been around a little longer than me. Do you remember one from Wyoming?
Not that I can recall. So welcome. We're so glad to have you.
So, Mike, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your question.
Well, it's not a question. It's a comment. I am a longtime Bible-believing Christian. I'm just have some addiction problem, a serious addiction problem. I get help at my mental health clinic in the biggest city in Cheyenne, in Wyoming, Cheyenne, Wyoming. I just said it, praise the Lord. But anyway, I'm not getting the help I think I should get, but I am I have a problem with addiction on a very delicate issue. And
okay, here's what we're going to do, Mike. We're going to pray for you. Let me give Alex Focus on the Family has most of the time a nationwide, I would say, ability to connect folks with some counselors, Christian counselors. Don't they used to work there, but they used to. Do they still have that, far as you know?
They do. And, sir, God bless you. Let me tell you, just about 3 hours ago, we prayed for a young man that was trying to be break free from an addiction. Part of Jesus's ministry, he came to set the captives free. You can be set free. The number of Focus on the Family is 1-800-A-FAMILY. Just like it sounds, 1-800-A-FAMILY. They keep a database of counselors, Christian therapists all over America that they believe are vetted out and trustworthy. And I agree. I used to work there. So call that number and talk to the friendly voice that will answer. And I believe you can get some direction and some help.
Give that number to it one more time. And others may be listening that have those addiction problems and they feel like it's not getting what it needs to be.
Sure.
What is it, Alex?
1-800-A-FAMILY. And look, marriage issues, relationships, addictions, spiritual help, they want to pray with you and help you and give you good counsel. And it's that won't cost you anything.
Mike, we're praying for you. Matter of fact, all of those that are prayer warriors, write the name Mike down. And let's pray for him right now, and let's really bombard heaven the next 24 hours and even after that for Mike. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're coming before you for Mike, for him reaching out on exploring the Word today. We're not just about trying to get knowledge to people. Our goal is that Jesus would come into people's lives and set them free to be all that you made them to be. And for Mike, right now, in the power of the Spirit of God, as he gives you room to operate in his life, as he guards his heart and you direct his paths, Father, I pray that this addiction would be defeated and the deliverance would come as he can follow Christ. We pray this and believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mike, and we appreciate it. First-time caller, first caller ever from Wyoming, and thank you, Mike. We mean it, brother. Let's go to Texas and talk to Joan. Joan, thank you for calling.
Yes, Alec and Burke, God bless you. I listen to you every day, long-time AFR listener. I've loved the Lord since I was a small little girl, served him in many capacities fruitfully, and I just praise him that he would love me. My husband lost his job about a year ago, and my son about 2 years ago. So, and my son's in his 30s, so we invited him to live in our home. And my husband took a part-time job, and my son has taken nothing. He has tried. He's gotten down to the last two in very high-level positions and then failed and to get the first position. But now we're struggling with my husband holding him accountable with drinking. I hope that's been solved. Playing cards that are labeled witchcraft on the side. My heart is breaking because the Lord, what a disappointment to him. But I think truly it's because my husband's not holding him accountable. My husband runs and doesn't want people to think poorly of him. And instead of holding my son accountable because he loves my son, I just see destruction, and I just need men to pray for them.
Okay, Joan. Mm-hmm. Alex, give a word of encouragement to Joan, a direction, and then let's pray.
Yes, God bless you. And, you know, sometimes as a parent, we have to exert tough love. And you know what? I know he might be in his 30s, but if he's come back to again live under mom and dad's roof, then mom and dad set the parameters. And I've got to say, if he doesn't have a job, presumably he wouldn't have money to buy alcohol. And so let's make sure that his sinful behavior isn't getting subsidized. But Bert, may I go ahead now? I'm going to briefly pray.
Yes, go.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, our nation needs the Holy Spirit to strengthen our families, and many adult children have had to come back. They don't have the jobs they need and things like that. And so, Lord, sometimes in our homes, we need you to clean house. Lord, I pray you would convict this young man, help him to repent from sin, respect his parents, turn back to you, give mom and dad the wisdom and the courage. And I pray that mom and dad would be unified and on the same page in the way they discipline their son and they set parameters. And it's not just open-ended, unlimited, free room and board, but there've got to be some decisions. And Lord, we know your blessing comes about when we live obediently and righteously. May the Holy Spirit enable this young man to do that. Help this family. We lift them up to you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joan. We're going to go to Indiana. We don't have a lot of time. Is it Shirley?
Yep, it's Shirley.
We don't have a lot of time. Shirley, go right ahead with your question.
Okay, just real quick. For a new believer, Jesus and the God loves everyone. And so I heard something on the radio this morning about grandma not getting to go to, not recommended to go to her grandson's wedding because it's a same-sex marriage, which I don't agree with same-sex marriage either. But if a new believer says, well, Jesus loves everybody, then why can't she go? Can you help me understand that?
Okay, real quickly, I'll give this, Alex. I heard it this morning from Jeff Shreve. He said if Daniel had have obeyed and bowed before the king to pray and not pray to God because he was wanting to keep on the good side of him so he could have an evangelistic tool, I don't think he would have come to Christ. Sometimes in love, Sholey, you got to take your stand. You let them know, but you take your stand. You don't bend the truth even for that, do you, Alex?
No, you don't. And this is a hard thing, I understand, but you have to stand strong for truth to show them how important truth is. May God bless you. Stay tuned to AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
I want to thank our sponsors, Preborn and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Preborn Network clinics have rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day they save 200 babies' lives. But they can't do it without our help. Will you head over to preborn.com/AFR and sponsor an ultrasound? Christian Healthcare Ministries is the longest-serving healthcare cost-sharing ministry, helping Christians pay for and pray for one another's medical bills. Make the switch today and start saving. Visit chministries.org/AFR. That's chministries.org/AFR.